God, we thank you for this opportunity this evening to gather here and worship you. As we begin this Lenten season, as we journey to the cross with you once again, God, help us to begin this season well, to enter this season with deep reflection, open to what your Spirit has to say to us tonight. Lord, may my words be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. And so here we are on Ash Wednesday. We begin this season of Lent, this journey. Lent is truly a time of openness and listening and reflection. And our readings from the lectionary for this night really paint an incredible picture of the Lenten season for us. And what I want to do is kind of walk through and talk through a little bit of the passage, the second reading. And so if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to that in 2 Corinthians at the end of chapter 5 there, and we'll have it on the screen, and I believe you have it in the bulletin as well. This is actually, this passage is really fascinating, and as I was studying it this past week and a half or so, it really is an amazing picture of the Lenten journey. And as many times as I've read the passage, I never noticed its connection or correlation to this season. But there's some really important things that are happening here that I want us to talk through. And so our reading starts at chapter 5, verse 20, and goes on through into chapter 6. And, these first several verses, all right, these first several verses really is kind of a recap, a reminder. But Paul starts with this, "We implore you." When Paul uses a word like that, he's not making a suggestion. He's really begging of the people to hear what he's about to say. And in this, he reminds us of the gospel message that God has saved us, that he who knew no sin became sin. And he reminds us of the story that we already know. And he lets us know that that story of salvation is not just for us, but it's in the first verse, he says, the first three verses in chapter 6, says, here's the story, but understand we're in this together. We are reminded, this stumbling block is a reminder to us that we are in this together. Now, we know the story, and it's a little bit of a faux pas to talk about the resurrection on Ash Wednesday or even in Lent, because we, throughout the Lenten season, if you didn't notice this, in our songs and our hymns, our contemporary music, we take out the word alleluia, and we don't use that throughout this Lenten season as we reflect and journey to the cross. But what Paul's saying here is, before I get into some really important stuff, remember the story. The story of the resurrection. We know 45, 46 days from now, this next 40 days and then the Sundays, the mini resurrections, we know how this story ends. We know what happens. And something somebody said in a book that I read recently really struck me when it comes to the season of Lent. He said, there is no resurrection without death. There's no resurrection without death. And that is, in fact, the Lenten story. And so Paul reminds us here of the resurrection, but the resurrection, there is no resurrection without death. Death is necessary for the resurrection, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Why don't we go ahead and go on to the next slide. Verse 4. Verse 4 is kind of the main part of this passage, all right? It's the thrust of the passage. Paul here, the kind of the subject that Paul starts to talk about after his nice little introduction and reminder, he loved his introductions, is that the subject is we go through seasons. Lent is a season. It's a church season. And verse 4 is actually the thrust of this whole passage, particularly the first part. And he says, you know, rather as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. The key word here is commend. Now, I'll tell you, when I was studying this, that is a terrible English translation of the Greek word here, the word commend. Because when I think of the word commend, and maybe this is my own English language issue, I think of, you know, a suggestion. We lay this idea before you. We commend this proposal. But what the word actually means, the Greek word is sunistantes. Sunistantes. And what it actually, it sounds a little bit like sustain, and that's actually kind of relevant. But what it actually means is to associate with. See, Paul loves his lists, and he's going to give us a list for the rest of our reading today. And what he's saying here is, all these things I'm about to tell you about are things that you are to associate with, that are to become a part of your knowledge, a part of your life. These are things that you should know intimately. It's an active verb. It's not just this passive deal. It's an active thing. It's an active thing that we're a part of. And so Paul, in the rest of verse 4, kind of goes through his list. And in this list, he's talking about seasons. And again, these are not ideas or suggestions. That's why commend is a rough word here. This is the life that we are called to. And so for the rest of verse 4, all of verse 5, and the first half of verse 6, look at that list. It's not a happy list. Not a lot of it. But this is the list that Paul says, these are the things, these are the seasons, these are the times of life that we are to become intimate with. But then he reminds us at the end of verse 6 that we are not alone in this journey. So as we go through all those seasons, and maybe one of them sounds more familiar to you, another, maybe you see one of them and you're reminded of a difficult time or a joyful time. But Paul reminds us that even in this difficult Lenten journey, we are not alone. That as we go through those seasons that Paul talks about here, it's in the Holy Spirit that we do these things. That the Holy Spirit is with us and walks alongside of us. But Paul was very familiar with all of these seasons. If you know a bit of Paul's story, these were his seasons. And it continues on. A little bit, verse 7 is a little bit of the how do we do this. How do we make this work exactly? What are the ways that we do this? Because Paul, again, he was a very logical thinker, loved his lists. So here are the seasons, here's the how. And so then we go on to the next slide, and we'll start looking at verse 8. And then he starts to talk about, in verse 8 and verse 9, the things, the results that are going to come from some of these seasons that we're going to experience. You see, he's taking the listeners in Corinth on a journey. They were not really good at embracing anything that was difficult. Thankfully, they're the only town in the entire history of the world that's ever had that problem. And so Paul reminds them of some of the results. You see, because Paul was a realist. He didn't have that thing called tact. And he liked to lay it right out and say, here it is. This is what we are to do and be. This is how we do it. And this is what's probably going to happen. This is probably what it's going to look like. This is probably, continuing into verse 10, how you are going to feel. That's the story that Paul is telling. It's an important story for us. And then he ends in verse 10 here with this last little phrase after the semicolon there. Having nothing and yet possessing everything. That's his conclusion to this passage. It's the reminder that we are living life between the ashes. That as you come forward and receive the cross on your forehead, the words that we use, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and so are we without Christ. That we begin as ashes, we come as nothing. And when it's all said and done, and when our journey on the earth is over, to ashes we return. And so now in this life, we live life between the ashes. And Paul reminds us at the end of verse 10, yes, we, in fact, have nothing, but we also have everything. Because in our toolbox, on our side, in our corner, because we know the God of the universe, because we are an adopted child of God, we have everything we need. But it's because of that God. And so while we come from and start as ashes, and while one day we return to ashes, as we live this life between the ashes, we have everything that we need because of Christ. But before Paul told us that good news, after he started with the story of the good news, he wanted us to know that this wasn't going to be easy. We're called to suffering. It's a reality of life. Jesus said it. If anyone would follow after me, he must first deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That the story of the cross, the journey to the cross, doesn't just exist so that we can have a really good end to the story. It exists so that we know that God understands our suffering. It exists so that we know that we will experience and are called to times of difficulty and times of suffering. As Paul says it, imprisonment, sleepless nights, rejection, whatever it might be. Luther said that everything is hidden and revealed in the shadow of the cross. You see, this Lenten journey is meant to be a time to journey with Christ to the cross. It's meant to be a time to embrace our frail humanity. It's meant to be a time to embrace pain, suffering, and even death. Because without those things, the story's still a really good story, but it doesn't have the meaning that Christ intended. And the reality is, regardless of the story, we will experience, we are experiencing pain, suffering, and death. We tend in our culture to shy away from the bad news, from the things that are painful, from the things that are hard, from the things that are uncomfortable. That's not a new story. That's human nature. And that's why we have these 40 days. That's why we have this journey, to embrace this road of suffering. Because without death, there is no resurrection. Without death, there is no resurrection. So the question I'm asking myself this Lenten season is not so much, what am I going to give up, or what am I going to add, or what kind of soup are we going to have? Good question, though. The question I'm asking myself this Lenten season is, what in me needs to die? What part of my life, my sinful nature, my personality, my habits, my weaknesses, my current, my past, what needs to die? Because Christ called us, his disciples, to death to self. What in me, what in us needs to die? What is it? What is it in us that prevents us from finding our full identity in Jesus Christ? What is it in us that tears us down and perhaps tears down those around us. What is it in us that needs to die because it's not the part of Christ in us? What is it in us that prevents us from experiencing Christ in his fullness that needs to die? Lent is a season of embracing pain and suffering and death. Death to self. Because without that death, there is no resurrection. And so as we go on this Lenten journey together, as Paul called us to these challenging seasons, my hope and prayer is that we might really wrestle with and consider what it is in our life that needs to die. That we would embrace that death to self. And over these next 40 to 46 days, as we figure that out, as we allow that to really die in us, as we wrestle with that, as we walk through that suffering and pain that comes from death, that we gather here on March 31st, on Easter morning, and we celebrate the resurrection. That after this 40-day journey, the death to self leads us to life once again. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your words. And that, Lord, while following after you is not easy, it is the path to life. But on that path, there is pain, suffering, and even death. God, this Lenten season, may we challenge ourselves in a new way. May we challenge ourselves to be a people who seriously consider what in our lives needs to die. What is it that prevents us from being who you've called us to be? And Lord, as we walk through this difficult journey with you, God, may we be sustained by the power of your Holy Spirit. May we embrace the pain, the suffering, the challenge, and the death, so that we can gather once again and celebrate life. It's in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.